Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Need expert advice on your family's health? Speak to us today at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Dermot Whelan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Brendan.
So, comedian, meditation expert, no longer a radio presenter, though. That's gone out of your portfolio now.
Yeah, I left my radio wife, Dave, about 6 months ago now. I can't believe it's been 6 months. And yeah, it's, I guess, to follow my interest in the whole mindfulness space that I've been, I guess, has been part of my life for 15 years, but I guess part of my work for about five. So, yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's an adjustment, but it's fun.
I bet it is, like, because radio had been part of your life for a long time too. Do you miss it?
Yeah, 21 years I was doing it. So in some ways, it's not strange at all that I'm doing something different. Yeah. I do miss it. I miss, you know, yourself. You've a great connection to your listeners. I miss Dave, who was obviously a very big part of my radio career for so long.
Dave must become like a kind of a life partner as well. Does he, in a way, like, if you're doing that every day, something so intense together, like?
Yeah, what's really interesting is that our relationship, our friendship has kind of been, it's like a photo that's been transferred into a negative. It's been kind of flipped around because we saw each other every day, Monday to Friday, and then we didn't kind of hang around with each other outside of work.
Understandable.
Yeah, because, you know,
you'd said it all, really.
Exactly, yeah. You want to keep some of that friendship intact. But yeah, I guess now, you know, that's not there. So we have to focus on the bits outside of work, you know,
and
make sure that we see each other because we're not used to doing that. So I guess it's having that sort of patience and that being okay with an awkwardness, you know, when we do meet for dinner, which we rarely did in the past, you know. So it's an interesting
one. So you're rediscovering Dave, are you?
We are, yeah. Walking hand in hand on Port Marnock Strand. It's a whole new life.
And is life a bit less stressful without that daily grind?
Do you know what? It's different. You know, I guess naively I had this idea that if I stopped doing the Monday to Friday that I would just have all this time sort of sitting by windowsills watching raindrops come down where I would be dreaming up
cogitating.
The next. Yeah, the big thing, the big adventure. But I guess anyone listening who's self-employed knows that, you know, you're constantly on in terms of, I find it's a world of micro decisions. When you have an office or someplace to go to every day and you get up a certain time, a lot of things are already decided for you. What time you're getting up, what you're eating, where you're going, who you're going to be with. But when you're self-employed, it's almost as if you're starting fresh every day. And so your day is filled with these mini decisions, these micro decisions. And that takes a bit of getting used to and kind of being okay with, I guess, you know what it is? It's great mindfulness training because it's forcing me to really be present and not be jumping into the future, worrying about what I should be doing or, you know, what I'm going to be doing. And obviously there's a new financial reality for me. So it's actually a really interesting and grounding way of actually living the stuff that I'm teaching, you know.
And I can see that you're approaching it with equanimity. To me, it sounds like it's a more stressful life than your life was before a little bit, is it?
I think it's just different, you know. There's a lot more things going on, but it's a lot richer. I'm getting to do things that I guess I wouldn't have been able to do. I climbed Kilimanjaro there last month. I'm going around all different parts of the country and, you know, teaching and giving talks to all kinds of people that maybe I wouldn't have, you know, come across before. So that's been really interesting.
And you also now are the kind of person who can casually throw into a conversation, I climbed Kilimanjaro.
I'm talking very casually about it now, but if you had spoken to me at 5,800 metres, we had a different conversation as I was
gasping
for breath.
Is the altitude intense, yeah?
Do you know, the altitude is the hardest part of it, I think. Yeah, it is.
Do you go a bit?
You're not prepared for it.
Yeah.
Lots of interesting. Obviously, there's physical symptoms of it in that your heart could be racing and you're obviously struggling to breathe more than you normally would be. But I found that actually interesting enough. A lot of people started to experience some anxiety on the mountain as well. And it's because your body sort of entered that stress state, your mind kind of followed suit. So it was amplifying fears that people might have had on the mountain. I thought that was really interesting.
Okay. kind of parasympathetic nervous system-y kind of situation.
Yeah, whatever, kind of show that stress can be, you know, can be a two-way street, and that sometimes we have a stressful thought and that triggers our physical response to that. But it can actually work the other way as well. So if your body's under stress, you can, your mind might follow suit. So I found the older people were kind of worrying about, you know, having heart attacks on the mountain and things like that. You know, and so it sort of, as I say, amplified whatever was going on for people in their minds. So it was a real lesson in, again, in just staying in the moment. Because as you go, the guides are with you and they're saying, poli, 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 poli. And that's slowly, slowly, really trying to stop you from charging up the mountain like we might do on a hike down in Glendalough or whatever. But it's all about energy conservation, I should say.
Yeah.
And not rushing ahead, not getting ahead of yourself, and just literally thinking of one foot in front of the other, particularly when you're really struggling physically with the altitude, you know.
Oh. Now, you've also got a podcast now, the Mindful Podcast. I noticed the first episode is with he's the man of the moment, isn't he, Cillian Murphy? He's a good friend of yours, isn't he? How do you know him?
Yeah, we go back a long way. Obviously, a very proud Cork man like yourself. We met on a film set in the 90s, actually, because that's what I did when I left college. I was an assistant director, which is essentially glorified tea maker.
Okay.
So I stood beside Cillian for a long time. You know, 95% of a film's, you know, film set is standing around doing nothing. So I would find myself with a walkie-talkie, generally standing around corners a lot of the time because you're waiting for the director to say action, and it comes through the walkie-talkie and off he goes. So
okay,
in those moments, I guess, when we were standing around, we became pals and stayed pals ever since. Yeah, so it's just wonderful to see him doing so well, you know.
Absolutely. So as you were saying, and I think an element to that in the podcast as well, that a lot of your work now is around mindfulness, meditation. I believe you're interested at the moment in how it can help with sleep, which does seem to be a kind of a pandemic with a lot of people now, of the sleeplessness.
Yeah, sleep is a massive one for people, I think. And a lot of the time, you know, I think our body is sending us signals a lot of the time. And sometimes we listen to those and sometimes we don't. And sleep, I think, is one of those, you know. And for me, when I was suffering with stress and burnout and all those wonderful things, the middle of the night became a place that was new to me, in that 10 past three in the morning seemed to be my special time to be alive, you know. And we all know how frustrating.
A good old stock taker situation.
Exactly, yeah. You know. And what always, you know, I guess amuses me is, you know, the mind can be doing very playful things at the time of the night, even though it's super frustrating. You know, and I used to find that I didn't even have to look at the clock. I would just know it was 3:10 a.m.
Yeah.
And even if I didn't have anything in particular to be worried about, you know, it's as if then you start to scan and you go, OK, family's well, job's going OK. And then your mind is like, let's see if we can't find something for you to worry about, you know, as it leaps through the mental filing cabinets and then suddenly goes, aha, your NCT is out of date. Let's think about that for the next 3 hours.
Yeah,
you know, but, you know, all jokes aside, it can be very frustrating and very debilitating for people, you know, that feeling of clock watching. And then almost when the alarm goes off, you think, you know, it's a relief. Let's just end this farce and I can just go into work and tell everyone how wrecked I am. But it can be very draining, you know, and
so
very
you're
hard.
Recommending a body scan?
I think a body scan for me is the most effective. And that's, for anyone who doesn't know, it's just a very gentle bringing your focus from the top of your head and then working from the top right down through your body down to your feet, and you're relaxing each place as you go. And anytime your mind is wandering off to those little worries or thoughts of the next day, you just keep bringing it back. Because a lot of our issues with sleep is that we bring our stress response, an activated stress response, to bed with us, you know. And we may not even be aware that we're in that kind of high alert mode. I mean, I don't know if you still listen to vinyl at home, do you?
Not much, yeah.
Well, I have an amplifier at home as part of a record player. And you know, if you crank the volume or the gain, the needle goes into the red. And a lot of us spend our time with our stress needle in that red or just below it. So it doesn't take very much for us to kind of move into that fray, you know, tired and wired, are overreacting to things, are that feeling that we want to go to sleep, but we're kind of too wired. So if we can manage to simply, I guess, lessen that stress response or take the needle down a little bit before we go to sleep. It can just allow our bodies to actually set ourselves up for sleep. So it's something like a body scan. And it could be anything that kind of triggered our stress response throughout the day. It could be, you know, an email you didn't want to get, just workload or conversation that didn't go well or whatever it is. But I guess what I'm trying to share with people, you know, through the work that I do and through things like the podcast is that there are things we can do throughout the day. And there are things certainly we can do at bedtime that can just help us to knock off that little smoke alarm that's going off in our mind.
Because
it's there to do a job. It's there to help us. It's there to protect us. But I guess, you know, for me and how I got into all this stuff and, you know, the panic attack I had all those years ago that kind of set me on this path was that I had no awareness that I could control my stress reaction. You know, I had a little bit more say in how I responded to the stressful events that were coming my way. So I guess I try and encourage people to use mini moments and see these mini moments throughout the day and not buy into, I guess, the way meditation and wellness and spirituality these days is marketed to us is, you know, it's all mountaintops and lotus position and beautiful people in tremendously expensive yoga pants. Yeah. And, you know, that works for some people, but it's not for us all, you know. So
give me a few mini moment kind of hacks that people could do.
Well, say, for instance, like the simplest thing, I was even doing this outside while I was waiting to come in here because I wanted a more calm and present
version of me. You seem very chilled and very present, I must say, yeah.
Well, just a little bit of Valium and meditation. Yeah. But these are the things. So I'm consciously aware that, you know, a little bit of butterflies in my belly if I come into some place like this is good, but I don't want the needle going into the red. So simplest way I was doing it is just connecting in with my belly. And that's simply something you can do at any time in the day. So you could put a hand on the belly. I find this works if you put your hand on your own belly. You're less likely to get thrown off the bus. But simply putting it there. And then,
come on, Colm O'Mungo, and put your hand in your stomach. Yeah.
That's it. Come on, lads.
Yeah. Okay. What are we doing now?
So all you're doing is gently breathing in through your nose. And anyone listening at home, try this. So allow your belly to expand. So it's like a little balloon in your belly. When you breathe in, your belly rises, and when you breathe out, the belly drops back down again. So just doing a couple of those, and as you do them, you'll find that your breathing is going to slow down. Your nervous system is going to get a little bit calmer. And you'll even start to notice the little gaps between your breaths. So there's a little gap between your in-breath and your out-breath. And your out-breath and your in-breath. And those little moments, while we're in here, your mind probably wasn't in the future thinking about things that might happen. And it wasn't in the past thinking about the things that did happen. And as long as we can keep bringing ourselves back into that present space, a lot of the time it's enough just to knock off that little smoke alarm, that stress response that's trying to protect us, but sometimes just goes into overdrive a little bit.
Okay, no, we're all far too chilled. We need to stop. Okay, the podcast is the Mindful Podcast. Dermot Whelan, thank you very much.